You listen to the sermon. These gourmet sermons, you listen to them. You feast on them. You walk out of here smiling and happy. And you go home and do nothing different. What can I say? And I wanted to say something encouraging to our new deacons and our eldership and our older deacons and everything. And I got to thinking about this, and I got to thinking about the men that we have put before the congregation right now. And the thing that I have thought about all of them is that they are high road leaders. They are high road leaders. And I got to thinking about that, and I looked at this passage right here in Matthew chapter 7. And if you've got your notes, you can see it in there. The very first thing he says in this, and I got to tell you, I'm looking at the scriptures completely different today than I did 5 years ago. And I hope in 2 years I'll look at them again. And I'm looking at this sermon, I've seen it for years, and I've looked at this and I thought, this is what it means. And I looked at this thinking about this thing that we've got going on today, and it says here, so in everything. And I looked up the word everything there in the Greek, and it means everything. It says, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. And he goes on to say, and for years I always thought this about people who get into heaven and people who get into hell, but I think that may be part of it. But I think the scriptures are kind of like an onion. When you start peeling it, you get different layers. And I think there's a layer here that we need to think about. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And the reason why I think this is so important for us to look at is because, well, I not only want you to get into heaven, I want you to live the best possible life you can here on this earth. And the only way for you to do that is for you to become a high road person. Now, in order to understand what a high road person is, you need to understand what kind of person you are right now. You may be a low road person, or you may be a middle of the road person. But the one person that really finds it, the one person that really gets it, is the high road person. You see, look at your notes. The low road person, they take more than they give. They take more than they give. And I've known a lot of people in that category right there. They are takers. They're not givers. I have worked my whole life to be a giver and not a taker. And the second thing that I've got there, they are selfish and insecure. Low road people are selfish and insecure, and they are negative and critical, and because they're in the world becomes darker and more difficult. The world becomes darker and more difficult. We live in a world that has a bunch of low road people in it. Amen? And I'm going to tell you who the low road people are. If you're not sure where you are in that, if you pull out in front of me, you are a low road person. Just joking. But I want you to analyze something. Analyze something for real. Do you give more than you take? When you go to work, do you do the minimum? Or you do more than it's expected? When somebody asks you for help, are you willing to help? Or are you looking for an excuse? I'm going to tell you that there's a lot of times that I have been a low road person. And the reason why I was a low road person is because I was insecure and I was selfish. And now, at this point in my life, my security doesn't come because Neil Farr has made it. My security comes because of the God I serve and what His Son did for me. And that's how you get out of being a low road person. Look at what it says in Titus chapter 3, verse 3. At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and in envy and being hated and hating one another. The next kind of person is what the average person is. This is what average is out in the world. This is what I see everywhere I go. I see a lot of average people in the world. And you may be an average person, but one of the things that I really want you to think about today, as Christ followers, we've got not to be like the rest of the world. Amen? We've got to be different. We've got to stand out. But for a lot of us, we think, well, this is the way things are, and we're just going to do it this way. Look at what it says here. The middle of road people, they want things to be fair. They want things to be fair. And there's nothing wrong with wanting things to be fair. I like for things to be fair from time to time. I loved it when my kids were growing up. I wanted them to know that life is not fair. And from time to time, they'd come to me and, how come he gets to do that and I don't get to do that? And I would say to him, well, I like him better, try harder. No, I would say, look, he's older, or these are his friends. And they would look at me and they would say, that's not fair, Dad. And I would always reply with the same thing. That if they were here right now, they could quote it for me. I would say, life is not fair. If it were, I would have been born rich, not just good looking. Why are you laughing? Life, they want everything to be fair. And here's the other way that you can know you're a middle of the road person is they keep score. They keep score. And you know this is how it works. I mean, you all know how this has worked. He did this to me, so I'm going to do that to him. He didn't show up for my party, so I'm not showing up for his. They didn't give me anything for Christmas, so I'm not getting them anything. I didn't get a card last year from them. I'm not sending them a card. They keep score. And one of the ways we do it is a very nice way. Well, you bought me dinner last week. I'm buying you dinner this week because we got to keep it fair. Let me tell you, when you keep score like that, guess what? You're using brain power to keep score that you don't have to waste. Be somebody that does not keep score. The third thing, and this is really bad, is they maintain status quo. Middle of the road people, they don't grow, they maintain status quo, they think they have arrived, and I've seen a lot of Christians do this. I know at times I've done it in my life. I feel like, well, you know, I've gotten to this point, I'm in pretty good shape, I'm going to just kind of keep status quo. I'm not going to keep growing in my relationship with God. I've got a good relationship with God. You know what? When it comes to serving a church, I've done my part. And I'm going to just let things go as they are now. We have so many members in this church, and if we could get every one of you serving, this church would blow up. It would absolutely blow up. But the problem is with a lot of middle-of-the-road people is they just want things to maintain status quo. They don't want to grow. They don't want to see things happening. They don't even want the church to grow. Let me say that again, because I want to make sure you all heard that. Middle of the road people, don't want the church to grow. I will never forget when I started preaching at this church and it started to grow. She's passed away by now. Well, I know she has. I did her funeral. She passed away, but when I first started preaching here, and she changed, she repented, the church started growing, and she came up to me, and she says, I don't like this growth. And I said, well, what do you mean you don't like this growth? We're supposed to grow. This is what God's Word says. She says, I don't like it, and the reason why I don't like it is because I don't know everybody here. And I looked at her and I said, you will not know everybody in hell either, so get over it. That was probably not very kind, was it? But it came out before I thought about it. But the thing of it is, if you don't want the church to grow, it's because you want to maintain status quo. And here's what I want you to see. The world doesn't get better or worse if you're a middle-of-the-road person. The world's not going to get better or get worse because of you. And look at what the scriptures say about this. If you look at your notes, Revelation chapter 3, 15 through 17, he says, I know your deeds. I just want you to underline those words. God knows your deeds. You are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And the reason why I want you to see this is because a lot of us in the church today, we have reached some form of financial stability. Amen? It may be our job is paying our bills. It may be that we've got a good home, a nice car, and everything's rolling along just fine. And we're thinking, I am rich. I can sit back and relax. And he says, you say, I am rich and I have acquired wealth and I do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Very beginning of that chapter in verses 1 and 2, to the angel of the church at Sardis write, these are the words of him who hold the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. Underline those words. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. We have an elder here. His name is Monty Betts. And he turned 80 this year. He will tell you he is as old as dirt. But he's not dead yet. And he's still serving. And he's going to continue to serve until he can't serve. I'm going to tell you this. Everybody wants to know when I'm going to retire. I was standing in line with a couple getting ready to go into prison to visit someone, just so you know. And the couple there that was in front of us, we were talking, and I was telling them what I did for a living, and they said, and he was 78, so I just volunteered. Well, I just turned 65 this year. I'm a Medicare baby. And he says, you young punk. But anyway, we were talking. He said, so when are you going to retire? And I said, I don't know. Because for the first time in my life, I am in love with what I do every single day. And I want to keep on doing what I'm doing. You, You have no idea how much energy it takes for me to preach like I do, because my brain does not work like it used to anymore, and I forget things, and I make up stuff as I go, and I don't even mean to. But as long as God will give me the grace and the ability to preach, I am going to keep on serving. I don't know where you are in your walk with God or where you are in your life, but you're here today and you are retired. I'm going to tell you, God's not done with you yet. If you hit a point in your life where financially things are going well, you got a 401k, you got some retirement coming, I'm going to tell you this, God's not done with you. And if you're here today and you're still trying to figure out your finances, and you're still trying to figure out what's going on in this world, God's just beginning to work with you. Don't become a middle-of-the-road person. The final thing, and this is the high-road person, and the high-road people, they are our leadership here. That's the high-road people, and they give more than they take. They give more than they take. And there's a lot of time that they spend giving and making sure things are done. I know for a fact that John Shackelford gets up on Saturday morning before we have our tent service and comes out here and starts fretting over everything that's going to go on Sunday morning. And the reason why he does that is so that you don't have to. Our sound guys, they were here 2 hours before service started. 2 hours trying to make sure everything worked well. They had one snafu during the whole service, and I got to tell you, they felt so awful about that that every single one of them came up and apologized to me, because they give more than they take. If we had a whole church of people, and I'm going to just say, you know, some of you guys come in here and you listen to the sermon, these gourmet sermons, you listen to them, you feast on them, you walk out of here smiling and happy, and you go home and do nothing different. You are nothing more than a spiritual porker. You take and you take, and you don't give anything back. If everybody in here was to give more than they take, what kind of church would this be? You see, high road people, they serve out of love. They serve out of love. I've known Courtney Chambers since she was a little girl. As a matter of fact, Courtney left to go take care of her baby. She's not in here, but you can tell her I said this later. But I remember when Courtney was so little, I think she was probably 6 or 7 the first time I met her, and she crawled up in my lap and I held her. And she looked up at me and she said, "Will you be my daddy?" And I, from a spiritual standpoint, have been her daddy all along. I love her and her mother to death. But I'm going to tell you, Courtney gets up in the middle of the night to take care of her children out of love, not out of duty. Because I'm going to tell you, if I'm at your house and you have a baby that's crying, I want you to get up and shut that child up. Because it's your baby, not mine. But the thing of it is when you serve out of love, you don't keep score. You don't worry about what's fair. You know that God will make everything fair in the end because you serve out of love. And here's another one. They turn the other cheek. They turn the other cheek. I do not know how many people that I have counseled that have been in leadership and there has been somebody that has come along and berated them or told them they were doing things wrong. And the thing that I tell every person that's in leadership is nobody ever kicks a dead dog. If you're going to do something, somebody's going to come along and criticize you. No matter how good you do it, no matter how hard you try, someone is going to criticize you because of the fact that you're not doing it the way that they want to. I know I've told this story before, but I've been preaching for years, and we had this guy, and I love him to death, don't get me wrong, but I'm kind of glad he's gone. He moved away. But every Monday morning, he wanted to tell me how I didn't preach right. And I put up with it for a while, and I finally put a stop to it. But let me say this to you. If you're criticizing those in leadership, it's because you're not leading. And let me say this. I meant to say this earlier. I don't care who you are, what position you have in the church, what position you have out in the world. You are a leader, because leadership is nothing more than influence. And all of you in here have some kind of influence. No matter how old you are or how young you are, you have leadership. And if you can turn the cheek, the other cheek, when somebody insults you, that's high road leadership. Fourthly, the world becomes a better and a brighter place. When I would go camping with my mom and dad, one of the things my dad taught us, there was four of us. We had three boys and a girl. My little sister was the youngest of all of us, and I was in the middle of the two boys, and we would go camping, and my sister got to sleep in the camper with my mom and dad, and my mom and dad left me and my brothers in pup tents so that the bears could take us if they wanted us. But every time we'd get ready to go, you know, it's the end of the vacation. You spent three or four days there. It was a weekend there. We would have to clean up, and we would have to pack up. And we knew also when we got home, we'd have to clean up again, pack up again. Camping's a lot of work. But one of the things that I'll never forget till the day I die is my dad would stand over us boys, and he would say to us, "Pick up everything you find, and we are going to leave this place better than we found it." And that rule has become a part of my life. Every person I have come in contact with, I want to leave them better than I found them. And everything that I do, I want to leave it better than I find it. And when we do that, we make the world a better place. If you spent time this week complaining about the world, going to hell in a handbasket, guess what? You're not a high road leader. You're not a high road person, because you're complaining about what's going on instead of doing something about it. And we need to make the world a better place. Look at Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. "Then he said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves.'" Underline those words, deny themselves. "And take up their cross daily, daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose it or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of his holy angels." I've got this note that I wrote on the bottom of your notes. Leaders don't take the high road because it's the only available option, but because it's the best option. High road leaders aren't victims, they're victors. I wanted to do something special for our elders and our deacons and our ministry leaders to encourage you today. So on the very back of your sermon notes, I want you to read this along with me, because this is something that I think this is called the paradoxical commandment. And it's written by a guy by the name of Kent Keith. And he wrote these words: people are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness makes you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. The biggest men and women with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest men and women with the smallest minds. Think big anyway. People favor underdogs, but follow only top dogs. Fight for a few underdogs anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help, but may attack you if you help them. Help people anyway. Give the world the best you have, and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway. Amen? What if we left here today and we all live this out? What if we left here today and we decided that we are not going to live by status quo anymore, that we are going to take a higher road, we are going to be different than the world, and we are going to live as Christ lived, as a servant, not as somebody who needs to be served? I don't know where you are, spiritually, financially, or even your physical health. But I do know this: there is a God in heaven that knows your deeds. And He's right here with us right now. Amen. And with Him being here right now with us, you have somebody you can talk to. You can ask God, what is it that I need to change in my life? And I've said this 1,000 times, and I will continue to preach this. If you've come in here to worship and you're not changed, you haven't worshiped. You've just wasted an hour of your time. So, ask God what it is you need to change. And if you're here today and you've never been buried with Christ in baptism, you want to do that, we've got things ready. If you're here today and you need to repent of sin in a public way, you can do that while we sing this invitation song. Whatever your need, if we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and sing.